And you are in tuned to Doom Corporation here on KCSB 91.9 FM. We have a special guest here in the studio with us. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? This is a presidential candidate here for the upcoming 2012 elections.
Hello, citizens. My name is Vermin Supreme. I am a friendly fascist. I'm a tyrant that you can trust. And you should let me run your life, because I know what is best for you. As you know, all politicians are vermin, and I am the Vermin Supreme, and that is why I am the most qualified candidate in this race at this time. Yes, I am a politician, and I will lie to you, because I have no reason not to. Yes, I shall promise your little heart anything it desires, because you are my constituents. You are the informed voting public, and I have no intention of keeping any promise that I make. This election year, vote early, vote often, and remember, a vote for Vermin Supreme is a vote completely thrown away.
Just like all of them, at least so we're told by the various bumper stickers and so forth. But so what are some of your crucial platform points or talking points that you can give to us voting public?
Well, Attila, I'm very glad that you asked me that very open-ended and important and easy-to-answer question. And essentially, my campaign platform revolves around four planks, the first of which is, of course, time travel research.
Time travel research.
The only candidate who promises to fully fund time travel research, I will personally go back in time and kill baby Hitler with my bare hands, thus negating World War II. We must fight the Nazis in their own time, lest we be forced to fight them in our own.
Interesting, and we all thought that Newt Gingrich was so forward-thinking about moon bases, but what would you then with Newt's policy? He's thinking of moon bases, so do you beyond that?
Certainly. I plan on going all the way to Uranus.
Okay. All the way in through and beyond?
All the way into and beyond.
Okay.
Uranus.
Extensive astrological plan. Okay.
Yes, wow. And of course, mandatory toothbrushing laws are a very, very important part of my platform. It's a issue that's been terribly ignored and underplayed in this year's election, and I'm certainly accusing all the other candidates of being very soft on plaque.
It's true. They all have their government-sponsored dental care. They all stand there with their white teeth. And what is the average American supposed to do if they are not compelled to take care of their own teeth?
So true, because gingivitis has been eroding the gum line of this great nation long enough and must be stopped. For too long, this country has been suffering a great moral and oral decay in spirit and incisors. A country's future depends on its ability to bite back. We can no longer be a nation indentured. Our very salivation is at stake. We must brace ourselves and bite the bullet as we cross the bridgework over into the 23rd century. May we become a sea of shiny, smiling faces from sea to shiny, smiling sea.
There you go, bringing positive dental outlook back to the American political discourse.
So true.
So then moving on to international policy, what do you say to, or what is your reaction to events in Syria or Kazakhstan or even places like Malta or small, no longer important constitutional monarchies?
I believe that Narnia is quite possibly the biggest threat to America today, and I'm planning on invading that particular country. I hear they have talking lions and such, which certainly present a very serious threat to American democracy. And I believe that they've also been taking too many jobs from Americans. And I believe that they have taken it. We will be able to return our manufacturing base once we've fully wiped out Narnia. And I also understand they own much of the much of American debt is in Narnian hands, and I believe on wiping out that debt by wiping out Narnia itself.
So you're calling for a total annihilation of Narnia as opposed to the other candidates' policies of just controlling our wardrobes or maybe even just making sure that they have proper backs.
Yes, that's very true. I believe utter and complete annihilation of the Narnian, and I would like to, I'd use a swear word, but I understand we're on the air, so I can't do that.
Right, and I'm sure if you were to swear in Narnian, it would only further inflame, but you're here to inflame relations with Narnia, are you not, then?
Yes,
or do you support preemptive, unannounced, complete nuclear annihilation?
Well, preemptive is very important, but if you can manufacture a pretext of some sort or another, or perhaps goad them into doing something stupid, or something that we can simply claim is something mm-hmm. stupid, or some provocation mm-hmm. that may or may not be a provocation, but something that we can pretend or play up or build up to be a provocation, that's even better yet still.
What kind of things would you blow up and then blame on the Narnians?
Well, there's many exciting landmarks in America left untouched that could be destroyed. I'd personally like to fill in the Grand Canyon and blame that on the Narnians if I could. They seem to, that seems to be right up their alley, those sneaky Narnian devils.
Indeed, indeed. So moving from closet politics, we can move into other realms, if any. What is your policy then on the Tolkien universe? Are you pro or anti-elf? And what is your thought on the genetic hybrid that has led to the Uruk-hai?
Some have accused me of actually being an ogre, and I'd like to take this opportunity to simply deny that. I do have perhaps a little bit of ogres in the family tree, but I'm not a purebred ogre by any mean, and I don't subscribe to the ogre agenda. It's all good. First Narnia, then the Hobbits.
Okay. So then as a non-ogre friendly fascist, so you would you say then you may perhaps pulp people up and sell their bone meal, but at a discounted subsidized rate then? Or would you charge a full price so that you and I presume all of your corporate backing could then reap the profits and invest it in small oil derricks that have been proclaimed sovereign nations?
I do believe that the poorest Americans certainly do deserve their Soylent Green subsidies.
It's a modest proposal, yeah.
And I also believe that America certainly has a very adequate social safety net. And I believe that we will be able to use this social safety net to capture poor Americans and round them up and have them do our bidding. Now, some people have certainly made mention of my zombie preparedness plan as simply a pretext to create a zombie crisis. And that may or may not be true. But I think the important thing to know about zombie preparedness is that not only will America be prepared for this imminent zombie invasion, but we will be able to harness the awesome power of zombies to create energy for the future. By creating giant zombie underground turbines, we will be able once again to harness this these unquenchable thirst of zombies for brains by simply dangling brains in front of them to create an ongoing, never-ending, absolutely free, carbon-neutral, green energy source for America's future, lessening our dependence on foreign oil.
So then you want to move away from the predominantly Republican gerbilcraft politic, if you will, of using small mammals to run such thing as their drones that we perceive as their politicians. You want to move to full-on zombified working class that we can then exploit with the leftovers, I presume, from your food plans to power our glorious march into the future. Is that correct?
That is absolutely
correct. I think that's definitely the more
far-reaching
of the energy policies that I've heard from this election. Wow. So then what would you say to people who want to implement solar or wind or maybe like nuclear wind type energy sources as some type of sustainable, nature-friendly, pro-fairy and elf scheme?
It is true that the sun is one big nuclear power plant, so mm-hmm. I don't believe that you can really advocate solar power
would you support some type of weapon system to throw the sun at Narnia?
I think, yes, space-based mirrors would do a bang-up job of pinpointing laser-like accuracy and fry those little bugger Narnians. Oh, I hate those Narnians. I don't know why anymore. They just really stick in my craw. But, of course, that's not what I'm really here today to talk about. No, once again, of course, I'd like to go back to the toothbrushing thing, because
please,
there is a lot of misinformation going on around this particular issue. You know, proper social order is, proper dental hygiene is essential to proper social order. And, of course, the use of tartar control now will negate the need for crowd control later. Some people are going to try and tell you that this mandatory toothbrushing law is about the secret dental police kicking down your door at 3 a.m. to make sure you've brushed. And, of course, we know that's not all true. It's not about the dental reeducation centers or the preventative dental maintenance detention facilities. It is not about the government-issued toothpaste containing an addictive yet harmless substance, nor is it about the novelty floss dispensers. It isn't even about the splicing of DNA gene splicing to create a race of winged monkeys to act as tooth fairy enforcers. What this mandatory toothbrushing law is really about is strong teeth for a strong America. And if anybody tells you otherwise, you should just smack them.
Very well. Strong words. So you have full tooth fairy support in this.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The 4 out of 5 dentists certainly support this very important initiative to make America more enamel friendly.
And what manner of punishments or compulsory laws would you put in place, or compulsory systems would you put in place to ensure that America's gums, tongues, and teeth are the strongest and healthiest that they can be?
Well, we will be providing computer dental chip implants for you and your children to, for your protection, of course, and there will be scanners at supermarket checkouts and toll booths and wherever you happen to might go. You know, you'll smile, and the friendly toothbrushing drone will be nearby to take a reading on your dental hygiene, and if need be, it will just fly right on up and start brushing your teeth for you. So yes, and of course, waterboarding for dental non-compliance.
For repeat non-brushers.
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, okay. The first chance, we'll give you a pass, but after that, forget about it.
Now, would this be normal water? Would it be ionized water in any way? Salt water, perhaps? Some type of non-water, monohydrogen monoxide or something like that?
Well, I'm very much enjoying the Fukushima leakage into the water. Strontium for strong bones, you know, all sorts of exciting radioactive elements, which will help us evolve into a much better, superior human race altogether.
And what do you envision as humanity's future? Is it truly the boot stamping the human face of George Orwell's 1984? And if so, is it a sequined boot? Is it a go-go boot? What kind of boot do you see in the future?
Well, I imagine it would be a glitter-covered boot. There's no reason why it can't be a very visually pleasing experience for those who get to watch the horror of the individual. Yes, the entertainment industrial complex is just dying for a cable channel that would show nothing but dental torture. Is it safe, you might ask? Is it safe, you might ask?
Would we be forced to ask if it's safe in your regime, in your future regime?
Well, I believe that would be the dentist's job, to ask you if it was safe while they were constantly drilling, hitting nerves and like that.
Drill, baby, drill. So essentially, you're out to extract all of the tooth decay that you can from this. Do you support dental fracking?
Yes, I do. It's a very important potential power source for the future. And just a little bit of people whining about contaminated groundwater and flammable tap water. That's simply a small price to pay for a secure future for America.
Indeed. Well, I'm sure that your chemicals that you would be pumping through these people's mouths while dental fracking would no doubt turn many of them into the zombies that would power our way into the future. Is that true?
Rinse and spit.
Rinse and repeat and spit.
Okay. Rinse and spit. And now, of course, those are all very important issues. But I think the most important issue in America today is the lack of ponies. That's right. I, Vermin Supreme, am the only candidate who absolutely promises free ponies for all Americans. If you don't have your pony, you need to call up your congressional representative or your presidential representative and say, "Hey, guy, what's going on? I understand there's a whole lot of taxpayer money going to a whole lot of unnecessary wars, and could you redirect that to a domestic pony program? It will just make America a much nicer place. We will be able to use the pony poop in order to create methane gas. We will be able to create an awesome infrastructure. It's a jobs program. It's a jobs multiplier, of course, because once we switch over to pony-based economy, there will be many pony-related jobs. I'm going to bring back the buggy whip maker, which is an all but extinct job
lost
class.
American craftsman.
It is. Pony buggy makers, pony carts, people who make funny little hats and oversized eyeglasses for ponies. I think this would be another booming industry. Of course, pony poop cleaner uppers. So it's really good. And of course, it will lessen our dependence on foreign oil as we all use ponies for transportation purposes. And of course, the important thing to realize is that it is indeed a federal pony identification program. And it will require you to have your pony on you at all times.
Would you? So the pony then becomes like some type of national identification card, in essence? You must have your pony to prove citizenship?
Exactly. You and your pony will receive matching tattoos on your ass. And as you're traveling down the road, say the local pony patrolman pulls up and wants to see what you're doing there and who you are, all you have to do is drop your drawers, and they will scan the barcode on your butt and the pony's butt, and you will be on your way. No harm done. A small price to pay for such safety and liberty.
And, of course, ponies, a more economically and environmentally sustainable way to keep Americans from doing what they like the least, and that is walking. So, once again, I think that you're really on the forefront of laziness and sloth politic.
Oh, yes,
we have about 1 minute left, so what can you leave us with for your campaign? What are some sound bites that we can throw out there for the people and play over and over again to ad nauseum?
It's later than you think. Vote for Vermin Supreme. Together, we can turn up the brightness knob of the future, tomorrow, today. It's later than you think. I'm Vermin Supreme. I approve this massage.